Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
So, a big brown bear walks into a restaurant and sits down. The waitress walks over and says, "May I help you?" And the bear says, "Yes, I would like a meal of fish." The waitress pauses and says, "And do you want fries or coleslaw with that?" The bear pauses for a real long time and says, "No, just the fish." And the waitress says, "Okay, but why the big pause?" And the bear says, "I don't know. I was born with them." Well?
And that, people, is Pastor Dave's attempt at a joke.
Well, maybe instead of jokes, we should go into room 4216 and study God's Word, which is no joke, but helpful for our lives. I thought it was a pretty good joke myself. After Jesus had selected the 12 apostles, we continue now with verse 17 of Luke chapter 6.
He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." All right, Pastor Dave, I read it the way you wanted me to read it.
And you did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
You wanted to read it differently, though?
Yes, I did.
How did you want to read these verses?
Okay. Going to the where he says, looking at his disciples in verse 20, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." And we can skip then.
Okay.
To verse 24. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now."
So I'm hearing a joyous blessed and a dreadful woe.
Yeah.
And why would you have it that way?
Well, blessing is a happy thing. We like receiving blessings, right?
We do, but that's not what the text is saying.
I understand that.
Well, what is it saying?
It's saying that there's going to be trouble ahead for those who are happy now. I mean, or those who think they're happy now.
Well, yes and no. The word blessed here is actually a state of being. Blessed are you. Notice the word are is there, meaning it's a present thing. And what does it say? Woe to you who are. And again, it's a statement of woe. I wonder if Jesus was sad. Woe to you. Whether or not the word woe is maybe look out.
See, that's what I was thinking, is that blessed, yeah, it's great to be happy, but
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say the future. If you're messing up and going down the wrong road now, that woe, that should be a danger, danger, don't go any further sign. That's why I felt like it was important to emphasize that word more than I was doing in the reading.
Mm. What I like about these verses is that it's giving a... you can be content and at peace if you are hungry. You can be content and at peace if you are thirsty, because you will. And it is because, there's twice there, it says because of the Son of Man, because your reward is in heaven. It's emphasizing the future, and it's not emphasizing the status of where we are now. Woe to you, or blessed are you, but rather the future. This is more about the future, I think, than the present. It's not as much a warning, look out, as a statement of, this is the way it is.
Pastor Dave, this sounds a lot like the Sermon on the Mount.
It is, and it isn't. Certainly, Jesus would have repeated himself. He was traveling all over the country, speaking to different people each week. So he was a traveling preacher. So some of the words would be the same. But in Matthew, he had 9 blessed are you, and no woes. Here he has 4 bless and 4 woes.
Mm.
And so, you know, I can almost hear, he was actually playing with the crowd, and I think he was going to try to catch them by surprise, and I think he did, because he started by saying, blessed are you
who are poor.
And then blessed are you
who hunger.
And then blessed are you
who weep.
And blessed are you
who are hated.
Yeah, see, that one didn't fit at all. It's like, yeah, you're the Messiah. You're going to feed us. You're going to give us riches. You're going to make us laugh. Whoa, now you're talking about treatment like the prophets? And he adds that because of the Son of Man and because your reward is in heaven. And that's the twist. And so now he goes on with the 4 woes, and he really confused the crowds at that point, because he turned it around. Woe to you who
are rich.
Woe to you who are
well fed.
Woe to you who are
happy now.
Woe to you
when men speak well of you.
Jesus was trying to point out that this is a spiritual thing. It's almost like when he spoke about the kingdom of God in parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so he was trying to bring home the heavenly meaning here. There's a lot of people who are poor, a lot of people who are hungry, a lot of sadness. He knew that. But the point he is bringing is the kingdom of God is greater than just earthly circumstances. It's an eternal blessing.
My favorite time of the workday has just passed.
Oh, what's that? I mean, we're not over. We're in the middle of the workday. What is your favorite?
My favorite part of the workday? lunch.
Lunch.
I have to tell you, people, Pastor Dave is a good cook.
Oh.
I always look forward to, what are we going to have today? And some days he makes, spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, I like that.
And some days he does some kind of chicken with rice.
I like to try different recipes of the chicken. It's easy to cook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And today we had very simple but very good scrambled eggs and toast.
Just a little bit of shredded cheese in there, buttered the toast.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm bereft now. But, Pastor Dave, have you ever known what it's like to be hungry?
A little, but not a lot.
Okay. What about what it's like to be poor?
A little, but not really.
What about what it's like to weep?
Again, I've had points where I've been sad, but really long time, no.
And what about what it's like to be insulted, hated, rejected, and excluded?
Well, a little bit there, but still not as much as some.
You and I have had different lives, so I can't say that I know completely what it's like to be hungry or poor. I've never been totally out on the street, but money has been pretty tight at times. As far as weeping, yes, I've known times of that. Rejected, hated, and such. Yeah, that I've known. I've known loneliness, and I've known things like that. So, what is Christ talking about when he says that we are blessed if we're poor now and hungry now and weeping now because, our reward will be in heaven? I mean, heaven is great, but heaven is far away. And now is now.
Now is now. It almost does sound like he is not concerned about now, but only about heaven. That's not completely true. I mean, the people were so focused on now, he was trying to draw their attention to heaven. But when people struggle and hurt and are out on the street or are struggling, even as you described, and there are some of our listeners who do really struggle with some of these things, it might feel like God's left them. He hasn't. Now, that doesn't fill the pockets or the plate.
Or the loneliness and the rejection.
That's kind of where the body of Christ is supposed to enter in. As fellow Christians, we can encourage, help each other, support each other, and give to help one another, even in our needs. But I know that not everybody can go to church. In fact, there's one listener I know has gone to several churches and had to leave them because of the rejection. So it is rather tough. But here's the thing. If you say, okay, well, it's not true for me, then I'm just going to go live my life. Well, you still will probably be poor. You'll still probably be hungry.
You'll still probably be lonely.
Rejected and lonely. And then you won't even have Jesus. You won't have the spiritual strength. Or if you decide to sell, and some people do, sell their body or sell drugs just to get stuff so they can buy food and clothing and be okay. That's a short-lived life. And again, it's only looking at this life and not the world to come. I know some people are faced with that, but there are other and better ways. Much, much better ways. Don't throw it away, because if you do, you're throwing your entire life away. Let's continue reading in Luke chapter 6. We continue at verse 27.
But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Well, picture this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking along, and someone comes up and says, I have a knife. Give me your purse now.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm supposed to say, sure, here's my purse. And while I'm at it, here's my backpack. I have my laptop in it. Now, in my purse is my cell phone, my ID, my...
I get it. Everything you are, and your computer has probably
personal documents and work stuff. I'm just supposed to give all this away and be happy that I've given it.
So this is your reaction and response to Jesus' words just now?
Yes.
And so with this, what are you saying to me?
I'm saying, is this really what Jesus wants? Is this what he really means?
And so you don't like his words that he's saying?
No. I'm kind of hoping that you're going to say, no, this isn't totally what he meant. People aren't supposed to break the law and steal from other people. And
good questions. And I'm glad you brought it up, Cecilia, just like that. This is not what Jesus is saying, and it is what Jesus is saying.
Oh, now you're confusing me.
He's not saying if someone's going to... By the way, if someone does say they have a knife, just give it to him, Cecilia. Nothing's worth holding on to for the sake of your life. And that's true with any of you out there. If someone's robbing you, don't be Superman or Superwoman. Just give it to them.
I understand that.
Now, really, the more the situation is if someone just walked up and said, hey, I'm poor, give me this, give me that. That'd be more what Jesus is saying.
Okay, so...
But I want to add, it is and it isn't, because what Jesus did was exactly what he wanted to do. He got the reaction out of you that he was hoping to get. That's ridiculous. You just want me to give it away? Do you remember the last phrase of this section?
Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Yeah, and there's a little phrase before that, too.
Because He is kind.
Yes. And it says, when you do this, you will be sons of Him, because He is kind. You see, if... We don't like these things, just give it away and turn the other cheek, because that's not right. That's not fair. If he slaps me, shouldn't I slap him? Right?
Some of these things, though, I can do. If someone slaps me in the face, I might not like it, but...
I can resist slapping back.
Yeah, but if someone comes and says, Cecilia, I really need your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please give it to me?
You know, I'll be honest with you, my wife has pushed me really hard. When I first got married, I don't like to lend things to people, and she's loosened me up that I do lend to people, but I don't like to lend to people. It's mine. And I'm being honest with you here.
Mm.
So if you ask for one of my tools or a hammer, I got so mad at them. They'd take and borrow my hammer, and sometimes they wouldn't even ask, and then I wouldn't find it, and then I have to go yell at them, where is it, and all that, and they know, just don't be so, and in fact, because of that, my daughter gave me a hammer for Christmas, just because. Jesus is trying to get out of you the response that you are giving right now. You're saying, I've got to do what's not fair? And then he spins it around to say, that's what God does. Because isn't he merciful? Isn't he kind?
Yes.
Okay, stop. Is God merciful? Is God kind?
Yes.
Is he not giving you what you should get? Punishment? Slap on the cheek? Everything taken away? Isn't that what all of us humanity deserve? And so what Jesus is trying to do here is help us to realize, if you're going to play by the rules of the world, and you want to turn that to God, we are in deep trouble. That's really the key point. And then second, he's saying, hey, but even if you aren't, God is kind. He is merciful. He lets the sun shine on the evil and the just, right, the same. God is this no matter how we treat him. And he wants to bring home that fact that this is our God. He is loving. He is merciful. He forgives.
I'm sorry, Pastor Dave, but question not answered.
Ooh, you're going to be tough on me today.
I'm afraid so.
All right.
Do you remember a time about 3 years ago, and my housemates and I had a worker who helped us cleaning our house and doing other things with us? I'll call her Cheryl.
Okay.
And Cheryl stole from us on several occasions.
Oh, I do remember that.
A significant amount of money, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we tried to get some justice. But was that wrong? Should we just have said, Cheryl, it's all right. If you need money, here. We'll show you where it is. That's what this passage would seem to be implying.
Okay. If we use this gospel as only a moral book that we have to exactly follow, I think we're failing to understand what Jesus is trying to say. First and foremost, it's a message to us spiritually. If we try to do tit for tat in relationship to God, our spiritual well-being, even as he talked about just a minute ago about the blessings and the woes, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. But that's why he said, blessed are the poor, you shall be rich. When we're poor spiritually, we cling to Jesus and trust him. He took the injustice so that he, instead of having justice and mercy for our sins, can be merciful. And so God's giving us a different schematic. So it's not just a moralistic book. So now the question is, okay, what do we do with this? Well, first it points us to Jesus as our Savior. Second, it does say that we are followers of Jesus. This is what he did. So yes, we are to love. The question is this the only place Jesus speaks about love and practicality? No.
No.
No. And so we got to balance them all together. If I gave everything away to everybody who asked, well, I'd have nothing for my wife or my daughter then to take care of them. So I sometimes do have to say no. And by the way, even in the situation you mentioned about the person you called Cheryl, that was stealing. Taking secretly, without your knowledge and meanful, wrongful, that's not exactly what Jesus is trying to say here. But he is trying to say to be generous, to be merciful. That's what God does for us. That's what we should do for others. And so, yeah, we are to try. But when we can't, we do have his mercy. And that's what he points out because he says, God has been kind to us. Let's read on in this section. Again, Jesus is on the plain giving a lesson to his disciples. We read on at verse 37.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Well, that's not always true, though.
With God, it is.
You have a good point.
Read on.
Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Now, wait a minute.
They didn't have roads and sidewalks like we do. They just had rough, rugged roads. We'll talk more about it later, though.
A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Just got a quick point out. It started by saying, what, judge?
Judge?
Not, and you will not be judged. And then it says, take out the plank from your eye. Don't judge until you take care of yourself. It's bookends. And Jesus is trying to stretch us some more. In these verses, really, the key verse is verse 38. The measure that you use, it will be used for you. It's giving the idea of a farmer spooning out flour. And if you use a small cup and only give a little bit, well, you only get a little bit back. But if you are generous, it'll be generously given back to you.
Verse 31, remember, do to others as you would have them do to you.
Yeah, it's a repeat of that. And so Jesus is, we all want generosity to us, don't we?
Sure we do.
We'd rather be treated nice and merciful rather than necessarily getting absolutely every point of justice that we should receive. And Jesus is trying to use that to point out, this is how we can live, even though we don't, but this is how God treats us, even though we may not do it for others. And then you kind of stumbled, excuse that, my dear blind lady, on the parable of the blind person.
Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah, I know. Really, their roads were bad. I once visited over in Ghana, Africa, many years ago, and the villages, they're many miles apart, and you have to walk or ride on these rough roads, and it's very... I was thinking, could I walk these? Even with a stick, it would be really hard. And especially then if I were to lead somebody, no way. I'm a pretty good cane walker. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people with guide dogs, and they can help you from falling. But they didn't have those things, neither the sidewalks.
I remember walking through the woods once with a cane.
Yeah.
And along a trail. I'm not a hiker by any means, but back in my younger days, I did an occasional walk in the woods. And with those trails being narrow and rocks in the path and such, I can kind of see it now. But
that's where Jesus is trying to get to with this. Is and he may even have said it with a smirk on his face, because he isn't trying to downplay those who are blind. It's just the reality. A treacherous path is called that for a reason.
In other words, don't lead another down a treacherous path.
Yeah.
Or don't be led down a treacherous path.
Right. Or don't judge, or you'll be judged.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the same as be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful.
A faucet, a lettuce, and a tomato were all in a race.
Well, I get the lettuce and tomato, but a faucet? You mean like you get water from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, do you know what happened?
Well, no, what?
The lettuce was ahead, the faucet was running, and the tomato was trying to catch up.
Oh.
Well, no
people,
better.
She complained about me and my joke?
I was going to say no better nor worse than hers.
Please, write us. Give us some better material. Please.
Yeah,
please.
We need some better jokes here.
Until then, until then, or with that, do write us. And you can do so at
info@not-alone.net. We have one more thing to say, do we not?
We are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.